A thought is past the liberation of our Rudate obtained. Yad, therefore, Yasta Dandaha, persons who have given up envying others. Munuyaha, saintly persons. Upashama Shilaha, who are now situated in a most peaceful existence. Uparita Amana, who have control over the mind and senses. Samabhagachati, very easily obtained. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Saintly persons who are friends to all living entities have a peaceful consciousness. They have controlled their senses and minds and easily obtain the path of liberation, the path back to Godhead. Being unfortunate and attached to the miserable material conditions, a materialistic person cannot associate with them. Purport. The great saint, Jadbharat, described both the miserable condition and the means to get out. The only way out is association with devotees, and this association is very easy, although unfortunate people also get this opportunity. Due to their great misfortune, they cannot take shelter of pure devotees, and consequently, they continuously suffer. Nevertheless, this Krishna consciousness movement insists that everyone take to the path by adopting the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Preachers of Krishna consciousness go from door to door to inform people how they can be relieved from the miserable conditions of material life. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. By the mercy of Krishna and Guru, one gets the seed of devotional service. If one is a little intelligent, he can cultivate Krishna consciousness and be free from the miserable condition of material life. Omar Gyan Turam Dasya Jana Jana Sakaya Saksu Mitam Jaina Tasme Shri Guru Venamaha Shri Shaitanya Manobi Stam Sadapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dante Stabatantikam Panchakopa Tribhujas Cha Kripa Sindhu Eva Cha Bhagnam Bhagnevyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadarar Shri Vasudev Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation once again. Saintly persons who are friends to all living entities have a peaceful consciousness. They have controlled their senses and minds, and they easily obtain the path of liberation, the path back to Godhead. Being unfortunate and attached to the miserable material conditions, a materialist person cannot associate with them. This chapter is entitled The Forest of Material Enjoyment. And this is a summary of what Jadbharat has previously spoken to Maharaj Ruhuguna. This verse also corresponds with verse chapter 13, verse number 20. It says, "My dear King Rahugana, you are also a victim of the external energy being situated on the path of attraction to material pleasure. So that you may become an equal friend to all living entities, I now advise you to give up your kingly position and the rod by which you punish criminals. Give up attraction to the sense objects and take up the sword of knowledge sharpened by devotional service. Then you will be able to cut the hard knot of illusory energy and cross the other side of material nescience." In the purport, Prabhupada quotes the Bhagavad Gita 13:15-3 and 4. "The real form of this tree," talking about the banyan tree, "the real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this tree with the weapon of detachment. So doing, one must seek that place in which once gone, one never returns, and there surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom everything has begun, whom everything is abiding since time immemorial." 15th chapter, text 3 and 4. So the 15th chapter describes that there's a banyan tree which has its roots upwards, branches down, leaves of the Vedakims. One knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. The branches of this tree extend upward and downward, nourished by the three modes of material nature. The tree also has roots going down, bound to the fruit of action of the material society. So here, this is in this tree, the banyan tree. Is an example of how one is entangled in the material world. And it says here, "With determination, one must cut down the tree with the weapon of detachment." Now, in this verse, it talks about saintly persons. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, was Lord Kapil gave, says to Devahuti, "Tatikshava Karunika Shridam Saradeina Ajata Sharvashtra Santaha Sarva Sadhu Bhushanaha." The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies, he is peaceful, and abides by the scripture, and all his characteristics are sublime. So also, there are many qualities of a pure devotee, and some are he's poetic, he's sane, he's faultless, he's expert, he's silent, he's compassionate, he's mild, he's clean, he's respectful, he's equal to all, he's not defiant, tolerant, merciful, friendly, peaceful, grave, desireless, magnanimous, truthful. So these are some of the qualities of devotees. And we know from Upadeshamrita, Vacha Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pasta Vegam, Etan Vegam, Yo Vishaheta Dira, Sarvam Apinam, Pritivim, Shashishat. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, the urges of the tongue, belly, and genital, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So this is a symptom of one who's a guru, saintly person. Here the word muni refers to saintly persons. We know that Narada Muni, he's the best of all the Devarshanari, best of all the demigods. He's a saintly person. And he's free. He's free to travel. He can travel by his own will. He can travel anywhere in both the material and spiritual worlds. So when Narada Muni comes, everyone's pleased to receive Narada Muni. He even goes to the demons. He goes to the devotees, he goes to the demons, he goes everywhere. He's always appearing, trying to speed up things. He appeared before Kamsa, told him the real truth about what the situation was between so this is the one example of a great devotee. And so he has the all these qualities that there are in a devotee. He can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, urge of tongue, belly, and genitals. This is very important in our Krishna consciousness movement. We're teaching people how to control the senses. Prabhupada says, over and above chanting Hare Krishna, one must control his senses. If the senses are not controlled, then there's no question of being peaceful, especially the mind. We know the uncontrolled mind is our greatest enemy. But if we can control our mind, then it will become our friend. So Bhaktisiddhanta said, we should beat the mind with shoes 100 times in the morning and with a broomstick 100 times at night. Especially in the morning, when we're trying to chant japa, we should beat our mind. Say, leave me alone now. This is time for hearing the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's not time for the mind to just think about what happened 20 years ago, or what we're going to do tomorrow, or what we're going to eat for breakfast, or so many things the mind can dictate. And we know that the mind, when Parasaram was annihilated, the Kachu 21 times, he went at the speed of the mind. The mind can take you to 10,000 miles away. You're sitting in Vrindavan, you can be thinking of New York or Moscow or China or Australia. It's just a matter of seconds. So it's very important that we try to keep our mind under control at all times. Because the most important instruction is one should always think of Krishna and never forget him. This is the all other instructions are subordinate to this instruction. But because we're on the lower, on the Bhakti Bhakti, practicing Bhakti Bhakti, and we were still contaminated by the modes of material nature, we can think of Krishna, but not all the time, intermittently. But a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, one man came to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, I see you're doing so many activities. I thought you were, someone said you're chanting Hare Krishna all the time. Prabhupada told the man, you put your ear on my back. He put his ear on his back, Prabhupada's back, and he heard Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So a pure devotee, he can do so many things, but at the same time, he's never deviated from the thinking of Krishna, being Krishna conscious. But that's not our case. So we have to associate with devotees. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastra Koi, Lova Mantra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. It says, even a moment's associating with devotees, conditioned soul can get out of the miserable material condition. This Krishna consciousness is therefore trying to give everyone a chance to associate with saintly persons. Therefore, all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement must themselves be perfect sadhus in order to give a chance to fallen souls. This is the best humanitarian work. So this verse is telling how we can get relief from material nature. And that relief is by practicing bhakti yoga. So Jabarat described both the material miserable condition and the means to get out. So Rupa Goswami tells us that one's devotional service is spoiled by eating more than necessary, collecting more funds than required, over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to attain, talking unnecessary about mundane subject matters, practicing the rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of scriptures, working independently or whimsically, associating with world-minded persons, and being greedy for mundane achievements. So this is the six items we have to be careful about if we want to advance in our devotional service. Eating more than required. We know the tongue is very voracious and difficult to control. We sing Sai Ra Vijajal. So the tongue should always be controlled simply by taking Krishna prasadam and only talking about Krishna, speaking Krishna katha. Especially in Vrindavan, we should not unnecessarily talk about mundane subject matters. This way, our tongue will be controlled. The tongue, even though the belly is full, the tongue wants to eat more. So, eating more than necessary, what happens? You start gaining weight. If someone is becoming fat, you know, he's eating more than necessary, and this is detrimental to his advancement in Krishna consciousness. Especially seen when brahmacharis leave the brahmachari ashram and enter the grihastha ashram, they tend to put on weight, start to live a more comfortable life. They're thinking brahmachari life is too austere, but if I get married, I'll be a little, be able to enjoy a little bit, be peaceful, more peaceful and more happy, or something else, some illusion is there. But we see that people, when they get married, they start putting on weight, which means they're eating more than necessary. So this should be avoided at all costs. So that's why we observe ekadasi, because that's also a way to minimize the demands of the body by fasting on ekadasi and on days of the acharyas and appearance days of the incarnations of the Lord. Also, when one becomes a householder, then he's involved with making money. He has to get money, collect funds, and he gets entangled that way also. It also says one should follow the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga. Because we're practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, we have to follow the rules and regulations. That means rising early in the morning. Prabhupada said everyone must rise before 4 o'clock. In the Mahabharata, it says if you sleep past sunrise, it's sinful. So we must rise before 4 o'clock, come to Mangalarti. Sometimes devotees come to Mangalarti, but then they go outside in the middle. Everyone should stay in the Mangalarti the whole time, not think they should do something else. This is called acting whimsically. Or sometimes we think, well, I should chant my rounds during Mangalarti. But there's plenty of time to chant your rounds. There's plenty of time. You don't have to, unless you have, you're going to preaching or traveling or something. So you just stay in the monk kirtan and chant and dance with the devotees, Mangalarti. And it says, so avoid the association of non-devotees. So, devotees go for book distribution just this month, and we have to encounter some materialistic people. Jai Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Krishna Balarada Sham. We have to encounter materialistic people to give them a book, to sell them a book. But we're not associating with those people. Associating with people means you share the same mentality, the same thoughts. Materialistic people, they're just interested in their sense gratification, especially sex life. And devotees are not, don't discuss these things with materialistic persons. We just give them a book and tell them that this book will make your life, make you fortunate, or this book will can change your life. You've seen it so many times. People will get a book from a devotee, and they may not read it. They may put it on their bookshelf. Somebody else in the family may read it, become a devotee. But it may sit on the bookshelf for 20 years, and then the man, he's having so many problems. He sees the book, Bhagavad Gita or whatever, and picks it up, starts reading it, and he becomes a devotee. His whole life is transformed from a life of misery and suffering to a life of Satchitananda, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. This is the opposite. Material life means temporary suffering and no knowledge, darkness, ignorance. Everyone in the mode of material world is in the mode of ignorance and passionate ignorance. Therefore, the hardcore reality is being described in the previous chapter about Jadvarat, in this chapter, the hardcore reality of material existence. Although people are covered by illusion. It says Ananta Sesh in this canto, in the chapter of the glories of Ananta Sesh. When the living entity comes in the material world, he's covered by a false ego, by Ananta Sesh. He begins to think, I and mine. Everything is mine. Everything belongs to me. I, me, mine. In this way, the living entity is entangled in the material world. But we know that the tenth offense is to maintain material attachments even under understanding so many instructions about the subject matter. So devotees are trying to get free from this misconception, I, me, mine. I'm Brahmasmi. I'm not this body. I'm a spirit soul. But we've been bound up in the material world in time immemorial, identifying with the body. And there's 8,400,000 species. We can go through all those 8,400,000 species until one comes to human form of life. Because only in the human form of life can one make inquiry, can one end the repetition of birth and death, not otherwise. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Asad Sangha Tyage Vaishnava Char Sri Sangha Eka Asadu Krishna Bhakta R. A Vaishnava should always avoid the association of ordinary people. Common people are very much materially attached, especially to women. Vaishnava should avoid the company of those who are not devotees of Lord Krishna. So we know that the form of a woman, that is the height of Maya. And in the eighth canto, the demigods and the demons were fighting over trying to get the pot of nectar. And so when they finally got the nectar, it was in the hands of Dhanvantari, an incarnation of the Lord, and the demons snatched the pot of nectar. Now, this made the demigods morose, unhappy. So the Lord incarnated in the form of a woman, Mohini Murti. And she cheated the demigod, the demons, out of the pot of nectar by her sweet words and her attractive beauty. The demons immediately became lustful, seeing Mohini Murti. They all wanted to enjoy her body, enjoy with her. So she said to the demons, "You just trust me. Whatever I say, you should just accept. Don't make any objections." So they didn't want to disturb the relationship with a woman, with Mohini Murti. So the Mohini Murti, then she proceeded to give the nectar to the demigods. And the demons couldn't say anything because they were bewildered by this form of the woman. But Rahu was a demon. He understood what was happening, so he dressed himself like a demigod. And the demons were on one side and the demigods were on the other side. They were separate. So Rahu dressed himself like a demigod and was sitting in the midst of demigods. And he was the first one who drank the nectar. But then the sun and the moon were enemies of Rahu. They detected him. And then Mohini Murti, with her disc, Sudarshan Chakra, she cut off the head of Rahu. And since his head drank the nectar, and the nectar didn't go into his body, his head remained alive, but his body died, and he became the Rahu planet. So his head became the Rahu planet. So this story is a nice story in the eighth canto. So it's very important that we all, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, establish a society, international society for Krishna consciousness, so the devotees can associate and live together. If you try to be Krishna conscious on your own, it becomes more difficult. Like if you take one piece of paper, you can easily tear it in half. But if you take a book, you can't tear it. So in the same way, if we live alone, it would be difficult to practice Krishna consciousness. But if we stay in association with devotees, then it becomes more easy. It's easy to follow the regulated principle, chant, japa, do all the things that we're supposed to do in this movement. So here Prabhupada says that due to their great misfortune, people cannot take to Krishna consciousness. Nevertheless, this Hare Krishna movement insists that everyone take that path by adopting the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here it says the preachers go door to door, inform people how they can be relieved from the misery of the miserable conditions of material life. So Vaishyika Prabhu, which is here, he told me he was going door to door distributing Bhagavad Gitas. And he went to one house, one door, and the people were Muslims. They answered the door, and they invited him in. He was dressed like a devotee, with Tilak Dodi Kurta. And he sold them a Bhagavad Gita. But then he went to the house of some Indian family from Gujarat. And when he went to their house, they refused to take the Bhagavad Gita. So, this is what happens when you go preaching. Sometimes you're successful, sometimes not. But if anybody touches Srila Prabhupada's books, reads one word, life can be changed, they can become fortunate, they can be converted. We're practicing Sanatana Dharma, the eternal occupation of all living entities. This is not a ism or a faction. The Javarasurabhaya and Nitya Krishna Das, everyone, we are eternal servants of Krishna, eternal servants of God. You may give yourself a label. Someone may label himself Muslim, Hindu, Christian, whatever. But it remains the same. Everyone is eternal servant of God. So it is compared to the sun. The sun is shining. It's not shining today, but it should be shining. The sun is shining in India. The sun is shining in China. The sun is shining in America. But if you don't call it American sun or Indian sun or Chinese sun, but it's the sun is the sun. In the same way, we're all spirit, soul, we all have eternal relationship with Krishna. And by this process, in the Kali Yuga, this process, Harinama, 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 Evikulo, Gluna, Stevena, 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 Gatya, Anyata. It says three times, it's the only way, by chanting the holy name, this is the only way we can get free from material entanglement. In other ages, there were different processes. Yuga dharmas are different in each age. But the goal, the bhakti yoga is there in each age. Whatever the process may be, the final goal is bhakti yoga. Bhakti means devotion. Yoga means to link. So bhakti yoga means devotional service or to link with God. There are many yoga societies all over the world, in America and different countries, people practice yoga, but they're not aware of what real yoga is. They practice yoga simply to keep their body fit or, you know, it's for health reasons. But devotees go to these yoga societies and have programs, chant Hare Krishna, distribute prasadam. The people are favorable to Krishna consciousness. But they also, if you practice, you have to give up sense gratification. If you practice yoga but you continue your sense gratification, there's no benefit to that. So the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita, there's 18 chapters. The first six chapters and the last six chapters deal mainly with karma and jnana, but the middle six chapters deal with bhakti or devotional service. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, bhakti mama vijanati, I can only be understood by devotional service. So people can read the Bhagavad Gita, but unless they take the devotional service, they can't understand the Bhagavad Gita. But by reading Bhagavad Gita, one gets purified, and then one can inquire from saintly persons and try to improve himself. Otherwise, Queen Kunti praying to Krishna in the Bhagavatam that somehow I want help me to get free from the mud of material existence. This material existence is contaminate the heart. Chaito dharpana marjanam mahadavagni nirvapanam. Vajratani said this sankirtan move cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together. So, this is how but it's being described here that the path for getting out of the material world, going back home back to Godhead, is Nivritti Marg and Privritti Marg. Privritti Marg is the path to go back to Godhead. But Nivritti Marg is the path that, which is it? Nivritti Marg is the path to go back to God, and Privritti Marg is the path of sense gratification. So the conditioned soul, we have a independence to choose. We come in the material world, we're covered by false ego, and we have to wander in the material world. But here it says, Guru Krishna Prasade by Bhakti Lata Beach. If one is fortunate enough, he gets the association of a pure devotee, and that seed, the time of initiation, this seed of devotional service is planted in one's heart. And that seed is a creeper, begins to grow. And that is also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Says the material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the supreme truth. So this says, the misery is a living entity. And these are anarthopashanam, things which are superficial. So while cultivating devotional service, we have to become we have to become a diligent gardener. The creeper is planted in the heart, and the creepers are very tender. They have to be protected, so you have to fence the creeper around by the process of following the rules and regulations. And no meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and by associating with devotees. And then as the creeper grows, you have to water the creeper, and that's by Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. Nine processes of devotional service, beginning with Shravanam Kirtanam. And as that creeper grows, weeds also grow with the creeper. So one is not a diligent gardener, the weeds begin to grow along with the creeper. And because one does not recognize the weeds are not of the same species as the devotional creeper. And those weeds are called anarthas, which are so many. Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami, the anarthas in the heart are innumerable. But a few of them are listed with being duplicitous or wanting false prestige or so many different kinds of anarthas are there. Longing for material things that you don't really need, offending devotees, committing seva aparad, committing Vaishnava aparad, committing dham aparad, even offending non-devotees. These are all anarthas in the heart, and these have to be avoided. Sometimes we see even a senior devotee who seems to be very advanced, following Krishna consciousness for many years, suddenly he's not in the movement anymore. But it's not a secret. The problem was he didn't recognize the unwanted weeds. The weeds grew up and the creeper was not able to continue to grow. So therefore, we should all try to avoid anarthas as much as possible. And what is it? there's so many anarthas in the heart, but we have to see, to recognize them when they appear and kick them out. It's like Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, the Sikh Goswami, they kicked off all aristocratic association. You know, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they were forced to accept the service of Muslims and live Muslim government associated with non-devotees, which is detrimental to devotional service. But when they got the darshan of Mahaprabhu, they were able to give it up, to retire from government service, even though the ruler didn't like it. But they gave up all their, even they had boatloads. It says Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they had boatload of silver and gold. So they gave it up. They gave 50% to the Brahmin community, 25% to the family, and 25% they kept for emergencies. Because Rupa Goswami was expecting trouble. So when Sanatana Goswami retired from government service, he was put into jail for 6 months. And then he was informed that Rupa Goswami had kept some gold coins with a grocer. So he went to the jailkeeper and he gave him so many gold coins and finally convinced him to release him from the imprisonment. So Sanatana Goswami got released and was able to go to Varanasi and hear from Lord Chaitanya, get instructed by Lord Chaitanya for 2 months. So this is the required that we stay free from anarthas, and we don't continue, let the anarthas overgrow the Bhakti Lata beach. We should not try to contaminate our mind by seeing things, the unwanted things. We should not go to movies or watch television or watch the internet or read books that are not related to Krishna consciousness. Especially in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, we should be very careful. Vrindavan is meant for bhajan. Vrindavan is not meant for anything else. Simply for hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna 24 hours a day. So in this age, what does it say? Lord Chaitanya came in the Prahlad Maharaj's offering prayers in the 7th canto. He describes the Lord as Tri Yuga. Tri Yuga means the Lord only comes as the Yuga avatar in 3 Yugas, Treta Yuga, Satya Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga. But he also comes in Kali Yuga, but he doesn't assert himself. So Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga avatar, but he came as Bhakti. Bhakti avatar. He came in the guise of a devotee, and sometimes when they would address Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he would cover his ears because he was playing the role of a devotee. But still, it says, Krishna Varnam, Shasha Krishnam, Sangopanam, Prasaram, Yagna Sankirtan Prayer, Jantihi Sumedha Shaha. If Krishna comes, Lord Chaitanya came, he was not black, he was yellow. He was yellow on the outside, black on the inside. He's actually Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayaya. He's not different than Radha Krishna. But he came in this complexion, he came to propagate the Sankirtan movement. So those who have sufficient intelligence, they will take to this Krishna conscious movement. Otherwise, in Kali Yuga, the people's ability to understand spiritual knowledge and Krishna conscious movement become day by day, it's becoming less and less because there's so much animal slaughter, so much violence, so much pollution in the world, so many people are becoming so degraded. But those the pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, had compassion. One of the qualities of devotees is compassion. Came to America, compassionate nature, to save the fallen conditioned souls. So the Uttamadhikari, he comes to the level of Madhyamadhikari. Because the Uttamadhikari sees everyone as serving Krishna. He can't really preach. But the Madhyamadhikari, he has to discriminate between those who are favorable and those who are inimical. If people are inimical, then we shouldn't preach to them. The seventh offense, to preach to the faithless. Or is it not seventh? One of the offenses is to preach to the faithless. So we have to discriminate. If someone's not willing, doesn't want to hear about Krishna consciousness, then we avoid such people. But there are innocent people who come to the temple and want to hear about Krishna. Those are the people we should preach to. And gradually they will see the value of Krishna consciousness, take to Krishna consciousness. So this verse in purport deal with saintly persons, the importance of associating with saintly persons, and how to get out of this, get relief from the miseries of material nature. And this is attained only by practicing bhakti yoga, or devotional service. So now I have some service to attend to. So this is the we try to cover the information in this verse. Main thing is, I'll read the translation again. Saintly persons are friends to all living entities, have a peaceful consciousness, they've controlled their senses and minds, and they easily attain the path of liberation, the path back to Godhead. Being unfortunate and attached to a miserable material condition, a materialistic person cannot associate with them. So we suffer again material existence. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanande.